It's truly a privilege and an honor to have such folk as you. And what's been taking place in the last couple of weeks and helping this family out, and I'm just overwhelmed. And I just thank you so much for your kindness, your generosity, your thoughtfulness, and your love. We appreciate that. Let's look at Psalm 118, please. Psalm 118. Give thanks unto the Lord is the title of my message. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. That got us in there. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. There are some say that that is the middle verse in the Bible. And the Lord is the middle of the verse. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me. Thou art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God. I will praise Thee. Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. For His mercy endureth forever. For many, Thursday is nothing more than Turkey Day. A day of family, food, football, friends, and fullness. Those things are all right. They're not necessarily evil. And I'll be partaking probably most, if not all, of those things. But that's not what it's about. For believers, it ought to be more. We're to be a thankful people, and not just on the fourth Thursday of November. We're to be thankful all the time. You know, throughout history, there have been many occasions of Thanksgiving, but this National Day of Thanksgiving has its roots back in the year 1621, 1 year after the pilgrims first set foot on this ground, traveling over on the Mayflower. You know, these early settlers suffered greatly in order to come and stay in this country. I don't think we can fully grasp what it was like for them coming here to this country. And unfortunately, we get all kinds of false teaching regarding why they came. They didn't really come here for religious liberty. They had spent 12 years in Holland. They'd fled persecution, yes, in England to Holland, but they'd spent 12 years in Holland with a religious liberty. They came here and established that. There's no question about that. But that was not what drove them here. You know what drove them here? The desire to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they left Holland. There were other factors, no doubt, but one of the prime reasons was they were believed they were missionaries to this new continent. And that's why they suffered and they endured all that they did to come to this nation for the glory of God to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. The trip was difficult, to say the least. Many delays were experienced before they even started the voyage. That put them into the storm season in the fall. They left in late August, early September, and in the first few weeks were fine, but then it just went downhill from there. Most of the voyage, the 102 passengers, had to spend below decks, suffering seasickness, confinement in these cramped quarters with all the disgusting smells and things they'd endured, and being thrown from side to side in the rough seas that they traveled. The mast even broke at one point, and threatening to kill the entire group. But there was only one man that died in that voyage, and he was an unbeliever who couldn't stand their song singing and cried against it. And there was a child born in the voyage. So the same number that left arrived in this new land. They arrived later than they planned. They were sick. They were weak. They were weary. And they were low on supplies and had little time to prepare before winter set in. And probably a winter like they were not accustomed to coming from England. And you think about all that they did for the purpose of serving God in this new continent by spreading the gospel here. That first winter, half of them died. Over half of them died. That spring, an Indian by the name of Squanto, who had studied in England and learned of the language and the ways of these people, heard of their arrival and went and met with them and then taught them the ways in this new land, taught them how to hunt and where to hunt and where to fish and what they could eat and what they couldn't eat and how to grow their corn and so forth. And it's likely that his presence was the only thing that allowed them to survive, prepare and survive the next winter. And it's, you know, I won't go into details, but just how God worked out in that man's life to be able to be there to prepare them for what they were doing. Amazing story of the great architect behind the scenes orchestrating everything for his plan and his purpose. And yes, it meant some hardship on the part of Squanto as well. For the glory of God, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in this new continent. The first summer, a drought came that nearly destroyed the crops that Squanto had helped them to plant and showed them how to plant. And they called for a day of fasting. And they gathered together and they prayed and they fasted and they called out to God to provide their need. And the Indians all stood by watching to see what was going to happen. At the end of that day, a gentle rain came. Just enough to spare the crop, to provide them with a bountiful harvest. God's in control. The Indians watched in amazement because they said that in response to their prayers, oftentimes rains came, but they were so severe that they would wash away the crops that they were intended to spare. And they began to wonder about this God that these people worshipped, that was sensitive to their need, to not just answer the prayer, but to give them what they needed. It opened up the opportunity to fulfill their purpose for being here, to preach the gospel to those Indians. This is the true story of Thanksgiving. This is what God was doing in the lives of some people that caused them at the end of that first year to gather together 40 colonists and 90 Indians for a 3-day celebration, an honoring of the God that had provided for them, protected them, and preserved them on this new continent. The next year they did not have a Thanksgiving, but in 1623 they did once again. And Governor Bradford made this proclamation: "To all ye pilgrims, inasmuch as the Great Father has given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetable, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and as much as he has protected us from the ravages of the savages, has spared us from pestilence and disease, has granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all ye pilgrims, with your wives and ye little ones, do gather at ye meeting house on ye hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November ye 29th of the year of our Lord, 1623, and the third year since ye pilgrims landed on ye Pilgrim Rock, there to listen to ye pastor and render thanksgiving to ye Almighty God for all his blessings." That's what this is about. Thank God for his blessings. It's difficult to understand what they experienced. But even Bradford lost his own life that first winter that they had been here. Yet he challenged the people to be there under the preaching of the word and to give thanks to God for who he is. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. That's what God wants of us. And I believe that's what's expected of us. That's my first point this morning, that God expects us as believers to give thanks. Look at go to verse 5. Psalm 118, verse 5. "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" And if you just put this in the context, realizing this is not what the psalmist is talking about, but put it in the context of the pilgrims. And that journey over here as they cried out to God to spare them and to get them safely to land. And then how, though many of them died, yet still many were spared to be able to live and to build homes and to establish themselves in this continent, put in this large land. What an interesting, and I'm not saying this is what the psalmist meant here, but what an interesting application there. Go down to verse 13. "Thou hast thrust me sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly." The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. That doesn't sound like a bed of roses, does it? That sounds like somebody has experienced some struggles and some trials and some difficulties, but is looking above all that to the one who's promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God never promised our lives would be easy. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, the Scripture says. God has actually promised some difficulties if we're going to live right and do right by Him. But too often we focus only on that difficulty and we get defeated and discouraged and depressed. God says, look up. Keep your eyes fixed on me. Come on, Peter, you're walking on water as long as you're looking at me. When you start looking at the wind and the waves blowing around you, that's when you sink. Because it's going to be there. But we've got to keep focused on Him. Verse 20. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter, I will praise thee. For thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Verse 24, this is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God made it. The day. Whatever comes in that day. Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16 go to the city of Philippi after having seen a vision of the man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. Clearly knowing this is God's will for their lives. And they take that journey and what do they find? Resistance, opposition, arrest, beating, and imprisonment. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praise to God. And then the earthquake came and busted them loose. And then the guard, the prison keeper, ready to fall on his sword and kill himself because he knew that he faced the death penalty if they escaped anyway. They stopped him. He and his family got saved. God had a purpose. God called them there. They went through some difficulties to get there to do what God wanted them to do. In spite of all that, they sang and praised to Him. And look with them what God did. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. And that's how the psalm begins and ends. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. My kids think that means something different. It means don't be full of care. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgivings. Chapter 3, verse 14. And above all things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer, watching the same with thanksgiving. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. This one has always amazed me. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. A sacrifice? How can me just expressing verbally my thanks to God be a sacrifice? But that's what God looks upon it as. That sweet savor that ascends up into His nostrils. That God desires from us to Him. Romans 1:21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's apostasy. Unthankfulness is associated with apostasy. God wants His people to thank Him, to praise Him. How many of you struggle with your kids to say thank you? Somebody gives them, tell them thank you. You think, man, is that doing anything? Yeah, it is. Sure, they don't mean it when they say it at that point, when they're told to say it. But you're teaching them the importance of giving thanks. There's value in that. That when that thing gets ingrained in you, that it's the automatic response. And then you begin to put meaning behind it. There's value in that. And I think the same thing applies to us big kids in relation to God. Well, I'm really not thankful right now, God. Say it anyway. Make it a habit. Don't be like the apostates who aren't thankful. To develop that thankful attitude. God expects believers to be thankful. Giving thanks is a center of worship. You go into the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 23, there was the Feast of Ingathering, a seven-day feast at the end of the harvest, where they spent 7 days in giving thanks to God for what He had done for them in providing them the harvest. Yeah, the farmer goes out there and he tills the field and he plants the seed and he cultivates it and he fertilizes it and he does all that work. But you know what? In our years in Kansas, I saw a lot of years when all that work was for naught. because God didn't send any rain for that. There were other years when there wasn't much rain, but it came just at the right time to produce a bountiful wheat crop. I mean, it's dry and it looks helpless, and that rain comes just at the right time, that gentle, soaking rain that benefits and doesn't curse. God's in control of it all, and we need to be sure to give Him thanks. Even when we don't understand it. And even when it doesn't look good, like Paul and Silas there in prison in Acts chapter 16. It's a part of our worship. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107 and verse 21. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Here the psalmist is decrying the idea that people aren't doing it. Oh man, come on, just praise Him for His goodness. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. Psalm 116 and verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. O Lord, truly I am Thy servant. I am Thy servant and the son of Thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to Thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of Thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. And notice that it's again called that sacrifice to recognize who He is. One more, Jonah, chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2 is about his journey into the fish's belly. Down there, and he says, out of the belly of hell he cried, and the bars and the gates were round about him. If I can find it here. It fell the wrong way. Jonah chapter 2. And we come down now to verse 6. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God? I think there's a lot more here than just being in the fish's belly. But we'll say that for another time. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, unto Thine holy temple. He's in this belly of this fish. I think he died and went to hell. But he's there, and he says, this prayer came before God, verse 8, they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. That sacrifice of thanksgiving. And in that condition, whatever you might believe that it is, that led to his release. As he began to thank and to praise God for who he was. It's a part of worship. Giving thanks needs to be preceded by thinking. You got to observe. You need to reflect. You need to contemplate in order to thank. You recognize that something has been done to your benefit. Take some thought. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let me tell you what that doesn't say. For everything, give thanks. Said in everything. We sound pretty stupid to the lost people sometimes, and for good reason. Well, thank God for this flat tire that I just got. I thank God for this broken leg that I just got. That's not what it says. Not for it. In it. We don't always know what God's doing. Most of the time, I don't know what God is doing. But I'm to recognize He's doing something. And sometimes I got to go through this to get over here for this. And it's the stepping back and giving God credit for knowing what He is doing, even when it makes absolutely no sense to us. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not for or because of, but in everything. You see, the trouble is, folks, and this is kind of a theme that Brother Bard had through this past week. Our perspective is too earthy a lot of times. It's too me-centered. It's too much about me and how this affects me and what this is going to do for me and how am I going to get through this thing. And what we need to do is lift our gaze higher to God. God, what do you want of me through this? What is it that you're trying to get glory in my life through? How can your name be exalted and lifted up as a result of this? I don't believe those pilgrims were thankful for the voyage and the suffering that they endured when they first arrived here. But they were thankful for what God was able to accomplish in and through them in spite of those difficulties. Some things God was doing in their lives by allowing those things into their life. We need to look above ourselves. The psalmist said in Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, for whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God's got a purpose for us in being here on this earth. God has got a reason that He's allowed us to stay here instead of just taking us home to heaven. Because when He's done with us, that's what happens. You get to go home. But in the meantime, He leaves us here because He's trying to do something through us. And we need to stop struggling and just let Him have control and let Him accomplish what He wants to accomplish in our lives. And stop just looking at it from my perspective. my discomfort, my annoyance, and to look to God. To let Him accomplish in me what He wants to accomplish. After the Chicago fire, there was a Christian lawyer who lost everything. Put his wife and four daughters on a ship for England to go over there to be able to go to school and so forth while he tried to get his life back together and while Chicago rebuilt their schools and so forth. The ship never made it. At some point it crashed with another ship on November the 22nd, 1873. 104 years ago, this past Friday, 2 hours, it's gone. Sank to the bottom. The only one of his family that survived was his wife. Four daughters went to the bottom of the ocean with that ship. As quickly as he could, it was 9 weeks before he even heard about this. He quickly as he could, he made arrangements and was sailing over to England to be with his wife. And at some point, the captain called him up to the bridge and he said, as near as I can tell, this is the spot where the ship your family was on sank. Horatio Spafford then went to his room, sat down and wrote these words, "It is well. God's will done." Sometime later, he penned the words to the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, "It is well. It is well with my soul." Was he thankful for the loss of his daughters? No. But thankful for a God who cared and had a plan and had a purpose. And I can't say what all that it was. But if all that it was that single song, what a testimony. What a powerful challenge that is to each of us. That man in that deep depth of grief over the loss of his family still looked to God as the one who cares for him and loves him. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. It didn't seem good. But he trusted his God to know what he was doing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now look, there's no doubt that some things come into our lives because of our stupidity and our rebellion. There's times when God allows us to suffer the consequences of our poor decisions and our ignoring His counsel. But there's also times when these difficulties come because it's God's will. And we need to trust our faithful Creator to be doing what needs to be done in and through us, that His name be glorified. Giving thanks acknowledges God's sovereignty. To recognize that there is a God in heaven who cares, who hears, who answers my prayers. Look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. To allow God to be God in our lives, even when it makes us uncomfortable, even when it brings sorrow and grief, to trust Him as that faithful Creator, to give thanks even when it hurts. I believe that's what Thanksgiving is about. Let's stand, please, for prayer. Father, I know that some of Your people this morning are struggling with some things, going through some difficulties. And there's very likely others who are doing so, and none of us know about it. But God, You do. And God, help us to see that we're not alone. And this, whatever it is, has not come to us unbeknownst to You. God, may our faith be strengthened. May our trust in You be complete. That we, with Mr. Spafford, can say, it is well. It is well with my soul. We may not like it. We may not even appreciate what we might have to go through. But that we trust You, Father. Oh God, help us not only to, in our own lives, have this confidence, but to reflect it to those around us. God, this world needs a people. This country, this valley needs a people who reflect a true and a powerful relationship with the God of heaven. To see in us the difference that Jesus Christ makes. And that though we experience what they themselves and others around us may experience, it affects us differently to Your glory and honor. Oh God, help us to reflect You. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.